So connected to the world of Nintendo, even Link knows where to find us. Infendo Radio is on now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infendo Radio, episode 719, 18. I don't know. We skipped last week, so I'm not remembering, and I'm sorry. But you know, we're in the seven. We're in the. Justin's gonna find
it
out.
Looks like.
Oh gosh, yeah, I skipped a episode in my mind as well. But we're here. Welcome. Justin, welcome Brandon. It is time for another episode. Not time for a lot of news, so I think let's just kind of get that out of the way right off the bat. There was a system update that happened recently, but like, you know, as system updates go, it wasn't very exciting. Apparently there was a 15 minutes was added as an option in the auto sleep when you're using sleep mode. I've never used sleep mode on my Switch. Have you guys ever used the sleep mode feature?
No, that's not what I heard. I heard it's like when it's in docked mode, now it can go to sleep.
Oh, that's...
Oh, okay, so that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's actually good because my kid has a tendency to just leave the Switch running when he's, you know, downstairs doing something else, and now we can force it to go to sleep on him.
Okay, that makes
sense. 7 years in and no folders.
That makes sense. I guess it's in the sleep mode settings, which I've never looked at in my entire life using the Switch, so I might have to go look at that and turn that on. But actually, that would probably be a pretty good feature because I, you know, sometimes I'll just like be playing Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom and like it'll just be on the map screen for like 15, 20, 30 minutes. So it'd be nice to not get like burn-in on my screen or something like that, right? Apparently Korean was added as a supported language in the parental controls menu. So I guess that's a thing. There's an introductory...
Weird that it wasn't already, but...
Sure.
Yeah, kind of.
Apparently there's an introductory video that is presumably in Korean as well that you can watch if you're into that. And what is labeled as general system stability improvements to enhance the user's experience. Block piracy. That's probably...
It's so stable, though. It's so stable.
Right? No, it's definitely something that's going to break some homebrew something, so I'm definitely not going to update my hacked Switch. I advise anybody who has a hacked Switch not do that either, which is probably obvious. But yeah, that's, you know, system update version 18. Go download it now or not, I guess. Yeah, like, there's not really much more to say about that, I guess, unless you guys have anything to add. Yeah, didn't think so. Well, speaking of updates, wow, Battlefront needs one apparently because it came in hot. I was so looking forward to the, what is it called? Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. I was looking forward to getting that. And then just looking at the reviews, like, it's basically like big red flags. Stay away. Like, can't justify
that
a purchase right now.
I already purchased it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
I haven't booted it up. I had like $25 in gold coins that I had to get rid of by the end of the month or they would just be wasted. So I really didn't pay full price for it. But hopefully they'll, you know, The Grand Theft Auto trilogy came out and was a buggy mess. There were a couple of other games that came out that were a buggy mess. And they eventually patched them out, so I'm just going to hope that, you know, these get fixed up, because I love those games, and I wanted them, and I want to play them. I had no idea that they were not good.
Ghostbusters Unleashed was broken when it came out, so we had that going on. I think this is a bigger trend from EA, honestly, because I hear they also put out a Red Alarm. Roughly the same time, a Red Alarm collection that is miserable. It is they did nothing to optimize it for modern systems. They
what is Red Alarm? I haven't heard of that one.
I say, isn't Red Alarm the Virtual
Red
Boy
Alert
game?
Red Alert. Sorry, Red Alert.
like the Command and Conquer.
I
love the Command and Conquer series. Yeah, they put it on Steam or something.
They released a whole collection. Yeah, they released on a whole collection for the first time, and they didn't optimize any of it for modern computers. I was like watching a friend play Red Alarm 2. God dang it, Red Alert 2. And and like he put it on like the slow setting, and it was going like it was insane how fast everything was happening. And, he had to like mod to, like work on a modern CPU because it was like by the time he had half of his resources started up, the other side of the map was already they had nukes, they had everything, they were ready to kill him.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, the
Seems like they did the same thing.
I used to love playing that game too. I would buy a remastered version of Red Alarm 2 in a heartbeat.
Well, it's on Steam.
Well, I already have the version from what is EA's store called, the EA Origin store, whatever the hell it's called. They actually had a collection out on that for ages, and I already own it there. But it's just like the old, it's like the old game, like you said. It's like not optimized at all. So it's like I'm playing it in like a little window box, basically. So it's like no, I want a remaster of that game. Like, give me that. That's what I'd pay for.
I mean, did EA publish that? I don't know.
It was Westwood, and they got bought by EA. I think EA may have already owned them by then, Westwood Studios. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure they were EA games when they were first released, right? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it kind of feels like if EA is doing a remaster or something, maybe hold off for a minute.
Yeah, that's too bad. I would totally buy that if it was like good, because I never played the Battlefront games. But it's like at this point, I don't think I want to do it. It's like a why bother until they fix it or it gets on sale or both. Honestly, so. That's kind of the big news there. We can maybe talk about a little bit Princess Peach Showtime. Justin, I don't know if you had the time to play that at all. But it looks like it's coming in with like pretty mixed review scores.
So I haven't played it since it was officially released, but I did play the demo, and I thought it was pretty fun. Like, what I wasn't expecting was that it's basically like a beat 'em up. Like, it's like a Ninja Turtles Double Dragon style of beat 'em up game, which was not at all what I was expecting out of a Princess Peach game. I thought it was kind of fun, but I only played the first level. I haven't actually gotten deep into the game.
God dang it, I'm counting on you to tell me whether I should bother or not. It's
yeah, from what I've seen,
like something I'm interested in.
I've seen in the reviews, there's go ahead, Justin.
But I say, if you like 90s style beat 'em ups, then you'll probably like this. It's certainly, more interesting than a lot of those anyway, because there's different things that you can do and your power-ups change every level.
Right, yeah. It sounds like there's different play styles, too, depending on the level that you're playing. So, like, at least from what the reviews I've read, there's, like, even, like, a Ace Attorney-style gameplay element to it. So, could be interesting if they kept it fun. But, yeah, I guess, Justin, you're our beacon of hope. Let us know if we need to buy this game.
Yeah,
play a little bit more of it, but... I mean, I enjoyed what I played of it, so, I mean, thus far it's got my seal of approval. We'll see what happens when I get a little deeper into it.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
What I'm hearing is it's just a little too easy, like, unfortunately too easy. But, yeah, that's why I'm waiting on you, because you like Kirby games. You'd be able to tell me whether it's worth picking up.
Yeah, I would probably take your recommendation over some of the reviewers that I've listened to or read. So yeah, I guess let me know one way or the other. I guess one last little bit of news, which is not really Nintendo news, but I did see that there's a bunch of rumors heating up about Microsoft releasing some kind of handheld to maybe rival the Switch or join the Switch in the handheld space. So I don't know, like, is there room for that with like the Steam Deck and now like the Ally Rocker and all that stuff? Like, what do you guys think about Microsoft bringing an Xbox into the handheld space? Like, is there, you know, would you get one?
I don't know. I find this rumor kind of difficult to believe because Microsoft's not really big on the hardware front to begin with. Like,
they're I don't know. They've been making Surfaces for a long time. I'd imagine they would just make a handheld version of the Surface and say, done.
Yeah, I mean, they're all about getting Game Pass on everything. So, you know, you can... It just seems strange to me. Like, I could install, you know, Game Pass on my, what do you call it, Steam Deck, and play on that, and, you know, so why would I get a Microsoft-exclusive portable?
You make a good point. Make a good point. But,
maybe that's the way that they need to go then, right? They need to just make a... Like, you know, I know Windows 12 is right around the corner, but, like, make a version of that where it's easier for developers or easier for, like, us as users to use games on handheld, you know? Because I don't know if you've tried the Asus or the other one. I can't remember what the MCI Claw or whatever it's called.
Are you talking about the Rock?
Yeah. I've messed with them at Best Buy, and they feel nice, but the UI just feels bad, you know, like compared to like the Steam Deck, where you have, you know, the Steam OS. I feel like Microsoft can build an OS that is dedicated to Game Pass, like call it Game Pass OS, I don't know, but like that would run on their Microsoft handhelds. I think that would go a long way for me.
I don't know. At the same time, it's like I've seen Surfaces. Surfaces are something they make, and but I have trouble thinking they would put that level of technology into something that they could sell for like $500 or under.
Sure.
They tend to be, when they make that kind of hardware, they kind of make it super shiny, businessy style. So I don't know. I don't completely think it could happen, but I also see Justin's point where it's like, kind of why? They'd probably be better off as far as their game division just making their games more available, but you know,
some people want that Xbox hardware. I remember years ago, like 20 years ago, there was talk about Microsoft getting into the portables market, and they didn't, and I mean... Sony has tried on two or three occasions and not really gone anywhere with it. Like
why bother at this point? They put out a terrible thing, didn't they? Sony, they put out like something that was like,
oh yeah, the portal thing or whatever it's called.
Yeah, totally dependent on the other hardware, so it's just a stream device.
I was gonna say, isn't it basically just like a Wii U gamepad minus the second screen capabilities?
Yeah, pretty much.
Essentially.
Yeah, I don't know what, and it's like $500.
I don't know who the market is for that. It doesn't seem to make sense.
And especially when they could just make it so you can stream to any device and cool. I don't know. We're in a weird time in gaming, I guess.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you guys remember back in like the early 2000s when Dennis Dyack, he said there's going to be a one console future, and everybody like laughed at him. I feel like we're actually closer to that than ever before, you know, like seeing like, you know, Xbox games on pretty much every console, and like maybe in the future seeing like Game Pass on every console. Like I think that just kind of makes sense. Like, I don't know if Nintendo will ever get that way to the point where...
Well, I was going to say, like, Nintendo, I mean, aside from their, you know, Nintendo exclusives, Nintendo's been kind of playing nice with Microsoft. It's Sony that really doesn't want to share anything.
Sure.
Yeah,
well, would we ever see Mario on a, you know, another platform, right, though? You know, that's what... If that ever happens,
I feel like Nintendo's got, like, the idea. It's just kind of the other ones are a little floundering because it's the whole combination of the expensive hardware with extremely expensive games. And Nintendo's got the upper hand, and they do not need to spend as much to do their game development.
Yeah, that's
Sony
so
and
true.
Microsoft does. So I think we maybe will see some sort of, like, a power plateau as far as consoles are concerned. where it's basically like, this is good enough and also is the balance of you're able to make good looking games easily.
I mean, I feel like we've kind of almost reached that plateau to begin with. Like, there is very little significant difference between games of this generation and games of last generation. I mean,
for example,
a lot of PS5 games and Xbox, you know, Series games are also, you know, compatible with the previous generation, because, you know, it's basically taking everything that the old system can do and just doing it slightly more efficiently.
Right, and or like with a better frame rate or a higher resolution, you know, like, totally.
Pretty much. I mean, like, all you have to look at is like the NVIDIA 3080 versus the 4080, and it's just like, if you put those games side by side, there's better frame rates, but they still look good on both of them. So, I think we are kind of reaching maybe a power plateau on consoles.
Yeah, point of diminishing returns type of thing. Yeah, and, you know, as you were kind of mentioning, Sony, I think, has found that, hey, it's really tough to put out, like, these multi-million dollar games every single year, like, because they can't. Like, you know, look at this year. It doesn't look like they're going to have a big marquee game this year because it's hard to make a game like that, you know? And here Nintendo is sitting on, like, you know, if the rumors are to be believed, sitting on, like, three or four games that are just already done, you know? It's kind of incredible the different takes in business planning between the different companies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, we'll see, I guess. Well, I don't know. I might get one if it comes out. I'm in the market for a next-gen handheld, so if Nintendo can't feed me one here soon, I might be looking other places. But until then, let's talk about the games we've been playing. I have been playing some games on Nintendo consoles, as it were. You guys ever heard of Blatro? I know I've been talking about it. Oh my god.
Oh, you're still playing that?
It's in my wish list. Oh, yes. I'm waiting for
you're not the only person I've heard talking about this game.
it's coming to mobile too, so like if you guys are interested in it, you might want to wait until the Android or iOS version that's inevitably coming out. But it's good. It's really, really good. You won't have a bad time playing it if you get it. Like I said, it's basically just like fancy poker, I guess, right? You start off and then you can have these like joker cards that you can like swap out and that have like different powers, like, you know, it only takes four cards to make a straight, or, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I dig it. I dig it a lot. But not much more to say about it. I think that it's like a, you have to play it to understand it type of thing, you know?
In a podcast I was listening to recently, they brought it up, and in order to convince them that they should talk about it, he actually streamed the game to them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, exactly. You have to like either see it in action or play it for yourself to understand its magic.
It's kind of like, I mean, and I haven't played it, but the experience of it kind of makes me think of Puzzle Quest, where
if you
describe Puzzle Quest in concept to somebody, they're going to think it's the stupidest, most boring thing ever. But when you actually sit down and play it and figure out how the match three puzzles and the RPG elements come together, like, then it clicks.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, it's on my Steam wish list. It hasn't dropped down to a price I'm comfortable paying for it, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on it because you've sold me on it.
Yeah, it's so good. And yeah, Steam might be the way to do it on your Steam Deck, actually, if it gets on a nice sale. Because like, yeah, I think it would be fun anywhere you could play it. I think mobile, honestly, might be the best place to play it when it comes out there, so it might be double dipping, but yeah, we'll see.
I mean, like, it'd probably be like,
I've got some double dipping $7.99 at most to tell.
Sure. Yeah, no, mobile,
you would have the benefit of mobile pricing, so
sure. Well, I guess, would it
unless mobile pricing is, you know, here's the game for free, but in order to play it for more than an hour, you have to subscribe
sure.
for $5 a week or some crap.
Please no Battle sure. Pass. Please no Battle
Pass. Oh no, Bellatro Battle Pass. Yeah, that would be interesting, right? No, yeah, it's addicting. I, you know, highly recommend it. A lot of people are talking about it like Game of the Year type stuff. So like, yeah, it's very, very, very good for sure. So what else? Just a lot of Tales of Arise, honestly. That's kind of been the main game that I've been playing. It is super, super weeby. I love it, though. Like, oh my gosh, it is like absolutely... some dude died, and then they had to have a speech around the dude while the dude was dying. Like, you know, it's that kind of, like, it's just...
Oh, jeez.
I gotta just love it. And then they fought afterwards. I don't remember where I was during the last podcast, but I've gotten to past the point where I was playing on the PC. So I'm... in it to finish it for sure. But yeah, it's I've been doing a lot of like playing this while watching that, or playing this like while, you know, kind of like doing other things, because it's like you don't have to be so invested while you're like just battling. But then once the like cutscenes roll in, and there's a bunch of those, then you kind of have to put in your headphones and kind of listen to their, like, you know, their bullshit and stuff. But I like the bullshit. I'm really, really enjoying it a lot. But yeah, that's kind of really it for me. The Pokemon Go event that happened was all right. I hate giving Niantic my money each and every damn month. But here we are, talking about Pokemon Go again. And that's kind of it for me. So I'll pass the baton. Who else wants to talk about the games they've been playing?
I've been playing the Steam store a lot lately.
Okay.
They had their spring sale over the past couple of weeks, and there was a lot of stuff that that piqued my interest for really, really, really good prices. And I double dipped on a couple of things, as I was saying earlier. I got The Witcher 3 and like all of its expansions for like $10, and I wouldn't have gotten it except you can transfer your save between the Switch and the Steam version.
I forgot about that. That's actually pretty handy.
Yeah, so it's easy, and it was easy enough for me to just, you know, like play the Switch game until it auto-saved, and then go to the Steam Deck, and it, you know, looks better, it plays better, you know, so that was pretty neat. But actually, most of what I've been doing with this Steam Deck is, of course, mods and emulators and stuff like that. I got Dolphin to run on it, finally. Ooh. I'm trying to get, was it Zemu or whatever it, however you say it, the Xbox, original Xbox emulator, okay, to work on it.
Interesting. I didn't even know there was an original Xbox
emulator.
You can emulator.
Play Lynx.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else?
Stranger's Wrath is what I would boot up.
A lot of really kind of playing with things rather than playing things. I moved my 3DS data to a larger SD card so that I could download more games and stuff on it. So,
oh God, how long did the data transfer take? I want to know about that. How it must have taken hours.
A couple of minutes.
The games don't transfer, huh? That you have to re-download the games.
On the Switch, you have to re-download the games. On the 3DS, you just click, drag, drop, and then pop it into the system,
It wasn't like one of those weird ones where you have to like connect the two 3DS. No, I guess that's right. You can just like
copy. Yeah, if you're going from 3DS to 3DS, you have to transfer the licenses from one system to another, but you can just, like, wholesale pop the SD card out, pop it into the other one, and the way the Switch does transfers is just utterly ridiculous, and I can't believe, especially with, you know, games that take up 30, 40, 50 gigabytes, they make you re-download everything. But yeah, with the 3DS, it was easy enough. I got two SD card slots on my hub, pop the old one in one, pop the new one in the other one, drag, drop, 2-3 minutes later,
ready to go.
New one into the 3DS, and it's all set.
Yeah, what I was thinking of was like going from 3DS to 3DS. You're right, yeah, because that's the one that's a pain in the ass because you have to like transfer the licenses, but then re-download the things.
But even transferring the licenses only takes like a couple of minutes. It's mm-hmm. nothing like doing it on the Switch. The Switch is so stupid with transferring data. I don't know why they don't just let you move the SD card to the other system and transfer the licenses rather than re-download everything.
I'm going to tell you what, Xbox has got it right. It's like, you know, just everything's in the cloud. Like, I can go from my Xbox Series to my Xbox One and, like, literally just have the same game data. It's crazy how they do it. It's like magic.
If Nintendo does not do that with the next system, then I'm going to be very disappointed. I was already disappointed with going from Wii U to Switch and, hey, look, here are all these games that get moved from one system to another, but you can't bring your game saves. So you got to replay Hyrule Warriors. You got to replay Donkey Kong Country. You got to replay Mario Kart. Like, what the heck, man? You know that I have this game. I bought it digitally. Why can't I just go click and move it over?
How does...
I could do it with Minecraft. You could move game saves from Wii U to Switch on Minecraft. So I don't know.
How does PlayStation handle game saves?
I think
it's the same as Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think so. With Microsoft, you have to have a gold membership or whatever they call it. Like, you know, whatever.
Paid plus
whatever they have now in order to do the.
Yeah, in order to do, like, the cloud syncing. I don't know if you need that for PlayStation, because I don't do a lot of moving between PlayStations. But I remember on the PS3, you could just download saves and put them, which is what I did with, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5 on Steam. I just downloaded 100% game save so that anytime I want to screw around with it, I can.
If you had an original PlayStation, you can put it on a compact flash card if you wanted to.
I mean, a lot of my play time has just been playing with things. I've played some more of Virtual Boy Wario Land on the 3DS, which, you know, is again like that. This is how the best way to play Virtual Boy games ever. Like, just no special equipment needed. It's all built right into the screen.
I still haven't done it yet. Booted them on, but I haven't played them yet. Yeah, I need to do it. I have to.
The whole process took like maybe 15 minutes. I followed a YouTube tutorial. I'll see if I can find that in my history and send it to you guys.
The hardest part for me was finding the ROMs to play the games. And then I just never played them after I found every single Virtual Boy game that's ever in existence. And I need to play them.
I mean, they take up absolutely no space.
Oh, totally.
They're all just like
kilobytes.
Yeah.
Data.
Yeah. I did download Yoshi's New Island, which was the 3DS sequel to, you know, the original Yoshi's Island. And I played a little bit of that, and like, I know a lot of people were like lukewarm on that game. What little I've played of it was actually kind of fun. So
which one was that one again?
That's the one where they have like all the different babies.
I think I remember that.
I thought that was Yoshi's Island DS.
You're talking about the one on 3DS, not that one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about the 3DS, so, and I don't mean the Yoshi's Woolly World port either. Like, there was a sequel to Yoshi's Island called Yoshi's New Island that had a similar art style, but it was also stereoscopic, and it plays like Yoshi's Island. It's not as I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't have the exact same feel as the original Yoshi's Island, but of all of the Yoshi games I've played since Yoshi's Island, I think this one comes the closest to that feel, except maybe like Yoshi's sure. Woolly World got there on a few occasions, but yeah, I never got a chance to play that, you know, when it was on sale, so now that I downloaded it from the H shop for free, I was able to you know,
it's a wonderful
finally
world.
Give it a try, and it was pretty
world.
Fun.
Be able yeah. to grab but, these things, just it's here. There's a library. You can check
yeah,
it out.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I really have to. I started the process of modding my Wii U, but I have to like get it and turn it on and put the SD card in and go through that whole process yet, and I haven't gotten around to doing that yet. But I've got the SD card all ready to go once, you know, I do that. And once I do that, you know, I'll start, you know, downloading some ROMs of games that I always want to play on that too.
Right.
Again, if the system is dead, they're not selling it, they're not selling games for it
Why
anymore.
Not? Why
I'd
not?
Call that fair yeah. game. You know?
I agree. I agree. Same story here. If they don't support it anymore, it's fair game now.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, like they could have done something with it and, you know, left the eShop open and, you know, continued to support it, but they decided not to.
They could have,
you know,
let you transfer your game purchases from Wii U to Switch and just pay like, you know, $5-$10 to upgrade it to the deluxe edition or something like that. But nope. We're going to make you pay $60 for this game that you paid $40 for just a few years ago on
yeah.
another system and
yeah.
already beat it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all for that. Like, you know, sorry, Nintendo, you know, I'm might be losing a few bucks here or there for me, but like, you know, how many times have I bought in the original Super Mario Brothers? I think I'm okay.
Super Mario World.
What else have you been playing, Justin, or is that about it for you?
That's mostly it. Like, there's not really anything new to talk about. I've actually made some progress in Cuphead, like gotten beyond where I got to on the Switch. Oh my god, the assist mode hack is just the lifesaver.
Sure.
I will say there are some levels that were made a little too easy. Like the run and gun levels are almost too easy with it. Then I'll come up against one where I still die over and over and over again and have to learn the patterns and stuff like that. But it's not as like bang my head against the wall frustrating as it is in its original form. And
yeah,
like I understand the whole, oh yeah, we wanted this game to be hard, so we're not giving you an easy mode. But at the same time, like you created this game that is visually and musically and you know, all this appealing to a wide audience, but you make it only playable to such a fraction of the audience,
right?
That, yeah, like I feel like they really kind of screwed that up. But fortunately, you know, PC games can be modded easily, and assist mode is exactly what I needed to make that game fun again.
I was so frustrated with that game in its original iteration that I like hate beat it, you know. I think I talked about that on the show that it like, you know, like
I couldn't even hate beat it. Like there were
sure.
there were boss battles that I just couldn't even get to the third version of. And I know I could have played it in simple mode and just be, in fact, I considered at one point just playing through the game in simple mode and then watching YouTube videos of, you know, what I missed.
Sure.
But this, like, this is an even better solution.
Yeah, totally.
And like, it's the talk like that that's made me, this game is made for me, and then at the same time, that's a turnoff. I don't want to be frustrated. I want to have fun.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that. We got jobs.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
Two of us have kids. like,
yeah.
We can't be sitting there playing the same level over and over again for like 6 or 7 hours until we have it absolutely memorized and perfected. Like,
this is an Elden Ring.
Back in,
yeah,
yeah, like,
like I did that
even
the day.
Elden Ring
I don't
is
need
a
to
little
do that
bit
anymore.
More forgiving because you can, you know, save
go
like,
in,
right before
sure.
like,
or
a
go
boss
and do
something
else.
Like Yeah, like in Cuphead, if you get 5 minutes into a boss battle and die, you got to go all the way back and do that 5 minutes again. There is no midway point. There is no save point. Like, but yeah. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm caffeinated. Hopefully next week I'll have some new stuff to talk about. I know you challenged me to do some 3D printing. Haven't had a chance to do that because we had some bitter cold days, and as I sure. mentioned, my 3D printer's in the cellar, so getting that climate just right is tricky, but as we're entering spring, I should be able to finally get some 3D printing done.
That's what I've been doing mainly, honestly, is doing a lot of that. I got this like wood filament, and so I printed this like Donkey Kong like barrel.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't even know that that was a thing, but I'm gonna be getting some.
Oh yeah, it's great. Make sure you print on a lower temp. It's a lower temp print, so.
All the stuff that Brandon 3D printed for me back before I had one of my own was in the wood thing, and it's great.
That was the first filament I could freaking nail down and actually do exactly what I wanted.
You can stain it? It's cool.
Oh, like, yeah. Did you know that thing I linked you? That is a wood 3D print.
Oh, so. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely am getting some fun out of that. So, but yeah, Justin, I guess.
You can sand it.
I didn't even think about that.
I did with Justin's. He had me like do a Batman, like it was the chest thing, and way smaller than you'd think it'd be, even though it is movie scaled.
Sure.
But like printing it out, yeah, I just sanded it, painted it. Did everything with it like I would with if I was working with wood, and it came out freaking beautiful.
I wish I knew where it is. I lost a while ago, but you know, I 3D printed my own and did the colored filament swap in the middle, so that gave me some good practice.
Oh, yeah,
your print in place toy there.
Oh yeah, they're like good little fidget things. Yes, so cool. I guess we'll keep an eye out for your next adventures, Justin. But Brandon, what have you been playing lately?
I've been a busy boy.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I have been playing Helldivers. I've still been playing that game. The people I play with though get to play more than I can, so they're officially in the difficulties that I start acting like a baby in. so that's starting to go rough. I enjoy the lower difficulties and have fun there. I did finally delve into Mario Golf on the Switch, and I've been having a little bit of fun with it, but I think I'm cheapening it for myself with the rewinds. that's too high above par. Let me rewind, try that again.
That's how I would do it. That's the joy of it. I remember playing Mario Golf on the Game Boy Color on 3DS. And save stating before every stroke and going back, and like I was on a 3-par hole, and I just went back over and over and over again until I got that hole in one.
Nice.
I haven't gotten a hole in one yet, but I'm getting better. I'm playing that a little bit. The big thing that I really got into, other than 3D printing, I'll go into that last, but Jesse, you remember Jesse, right? He's a friend from high school. He originally was the person who showed up at my house with a PlayStation 4 with VR, and touted to me how incredible this was. And I was like, I don't know, that's a hell of an investment, a whole PS4, and like $500 for the VR setup.
I still don't have the PlayStation VR.
The PSVR 2 is expensive too, but it looks really nice.
Yeah,
I put one on.
And you can stream Steam VR directly to the Quest, so I don't even have to get a special one for that now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Again, Sony, play better with others.
Yeah, it's a shame. And like he got really salty when I ended up getting the Oculus Quest for $300. And the first time he got to try it, where he's like, oh shit, this is a million times better than this thing. And so he's always salty about that.
Oh my god, the PlayStation Move.
Down.
Yeah.
Do you remember the old PlayStation Move on the old ones? Yeah, oh my god.
It was all based on camera too, so even the head movement, so it of course had latency. So yeah, I remember playing being very impressed with Resident Evil 7 until I started feeling sick. That's a longer tale over to recently, where he finally got a Quest 3 and he's trying that out and he's playing the heck out of that. And I'm playing Quest 3 and I'm like, always telling him, dude, you've got to set up PC streaming. PC streaming is incredible. You have a PC strong enough to do it. He's like, oh yeah, but it's in the garage. And I'm like, yeah, but I can play anything. He's like, yeah, well, I still have Wipeout VR. And I said, you have Wipeout VR, huh? Nice. Like, yeah. So that put me down a rabbit hole to see, has anybody done like something like that? And believe it or not, the game I've been playing a ton is called Ballistic NG.
Ballistic NG? I'm going to have to look that up right now.
I've heard of
it. It is PlayStation 1 era Wipeout.
I think I have that on my wish list.
Fucking to a T.
Oh, this looks cool.
It's so perfect.
This looks cool.
It's so perfect. And it plays in VR.
Well, it
and
looks
I can
fast.
Mod it with all the PlayStation 1 music. And he was so salty when I came back to him. Dude, there's Wipeout VR on PC. We have Wipeout VR at home.
That's funny.
And he was like, God damn it. It's like, no, man, you gotta get it so that thing streams from your PC, I swear to God.
It's too bad, like Justin's
that game right now.
Yeah, it looks good. It's too bad, like Justin said, though, that, like, you know, PlayStation doesn't play nicer with everything, because there are some games that I would want to play on that ecosystem.
Things that they basically made for PSVR.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4, they just let rot.
And yeah, totally.
Like, why?
Yeah, like, I think even Resident Evil is exclusive to PlayStation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you still can't get Resident Evil 7 in VR for PC.
Even the fonts on Ballistic NG are, like, look like Wipeouts.
No, it is the most blatant, is the most blatant knockoff I've ever seen, and I'm here for it. I love this.
Look, hey,
the funniest thing to me is when I first picked up Quake, and he goes, and the voiceover says, Tremor. I'm just laughing. I'm like, oh, shit. It has every single weapon, but it calls it something different, except for plasma. Maybe you can't trademark plasma.
Sure.
It's got the techno tracks, and the tracks feel like it, and I can tell you what every one of those ships is a knockoff of. And they all have different names, but the shape is the same. The paint job's the only thing that's different. And I've been playing that like crazy. I've been having a great time playing through that, especially once I got like PlayStation 1 techno tracks on there.
Yeah, well, listen, if Sony isn't going to do a Wipeout game, then I guess somebody else has got to, right?
Yeah,
well, Sony. I don't even think Sony owns the franchise, because they've
released... they own Psygnosis now, but okay. They don't do anything.
I was gonna
with
say
them.
They released Wipeout games on other systems. I have it on the N64.
Wipeout 64 was so good. I like that game.
The Wipeout 64 was when Psygnosis was still an independent company. They bought it when the PS2 era, and then they released a subpar Wipeout game for PlayStation 2, and then they released a slightly better one on PSP, and then they didn't do anything until like PS4, where they finally did a VR version of it.
Although I will say,
was the Wipeout collection
one of the Wipeout games for the PS3 was 3D compatible, so I do remember playing Wipeout on my 3D TV a few years ago, and that was pretty fun.
Did they? Okay, that sounds like a Sony thing to do. It's basically just to show off certain tech now.
Sony was hard into 3D back in that era, though, because I remember they came out with
the
this
Shadow
like
of the Colossus.
There was this like really cool TV that they had that I wanted to get. That like if you had like two VR goggles,
my office.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Where like if you have VR goggles, you can have like a two player experience. Like, yeah, that give me that. Or not VR goggles, I guess 3D glasses for, but
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, like one person basically polarizes the screen so that two players can play a two-player game but have a full screen experience by the way that's polarized. What a like,
yeah, such a good idea.
Neat.
Like, all the technology that 3D TVs provided for us that never really got tapped into.
It's because it relied on glasses. That's too much hassle.
The
glasses were just too much, and they had viewing angles, and it just kind of didn't work. It's just a shame, because I'm sure at some point someone will come up with a monitor that can do this right.
I think by the time they finally perfected it, because I actually have a TV that's fairly decent. It's a Sony one actually, but the glasses are powered, you know, so like you have to charge your damn glasses. See, and like, you know, so it's just a whole thing.
My 3D TV that I still have down in the cellar, and actually the one that I have up in my office, I forgot that's 3D, just uses the same glasses you get at the movie theater, just the plastic ones.
Oh, sure.
The,
the polarized.
You just pop those on and you get full 3D.
Yeah, it just never caught on. Like, I was here for it, like, but, you know, it just never caught on. I thought the 3DS was going to bring 3D everywhere, but it just never did.
Ah, don't worry. It'll cycle around again. We'll get another one.
That's true. Give it another.
Every 20 years or so, 3D comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, we'll get back into the red and blue glasses era. I'm here for that.
Oh, man.
Retro.
That'll make me sick.
Well, what else you been playing that's been making you sick? Actually, how is that playing it in VR, by the way? Does it make you want to vomit, or is it just
so
like
intense,
amazing?
But you got to take breaks.
I was going to say, I can imagine that being a little nauseating.
It's not nauseating, because it's perfectly, you know, your head stays in place, and I'm used to that. So that's not really it, just it's mentally exhausting to drive at that kind of speed for that long.
Now you have made me want Burnout in VR.
Ooh, Burnout VR would be fun.
That would be sick. That would be sick. Yeah, there's a lot of driving games in VR now, so we'll see where that ends up. But yeah, I've also been playing on the Quest, the Pilot Wings 2, which is Ultra Wings 2.
Like Pilot Wings 2?
Might as well be Pilot
Wings.
Yeah,
I was very confused as well.
No, sorry. Ultra Wings, which is basically Quest Pilot Wings. And, you know, that's pretty fun. And I did some dogfighting with a couple folks. And the problem is they don't have closed private rooms.
So
you can
just
start
like
playing with a friend, but then there's not that many people. And the people who get in there are fucking brutal. It's like, I'm trying to learn how to play. Give me a second. And no, though I am impressed with some of the crazy flying I pulled off a couple times dodging those jerks.
Do a barrel roll.
I haven't played.
I'm like flying under bridges and like up on the side of mountains. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm still doing it. I'm not dead. Whoa.
I haven't played a flight sim in VR, but that sounds like it would be pretty intense.
It's great. It's fun. The other thing, of course, is 3D printing, but, you know, I haven't done much other than 3D print a wall mount for my new lightsaber I bought. Sorry, Justin.
I have anybody to lightsaber battle with. So.
Well, sure. No, it's more the fact you had to miss out on a collector's cut, and I feel bad. There was a lot of shit you would have loved. And I'm not even gonna, I feel bad even telling you any of the things I did there.
Next year. I will be there next year.
Next year, it'll probably be even bigger and in the On Center. I guarantee it. See here, but no, I had a good week. I've been playing with all my toys, and that's where I've been. Ballistic NG. Oh, also, Justin. On the Steam sale, Titanfall 2 is on there for $3.
Ooh, you have to play Titanfall 2 if you've never played that game.
I just bought it.
It's so good.
I just bought it because I couldn't resist. but
I have never played Titanfall. I don't even know anything about
it. Well, you
it,
don't need oh, to. So just good. Know we, that's the good one that has a story mode that's yeah. really good, and also apparently the multiplayer is great too. So
the original Titanfall is what made me buy an X-Bone, and I don't regret it at all. Screen glass or something, whatever. What was Smart Glass or whatever? Smart Glass and all. I loved Smart Glass with fucking Titanfall. I had like my tablet like right over here that was like my radar or whatever, you know, and then like over here was like my screen. Then I had my little Xbox. And, man, I want to go buy Titanfall again. You're making me nostalgic for that.
Well, Titanfall 2 is only $3 on Steam, and maybe we could all play together.
Ultimate Edition.
Yeah. It's always on sale everywhere too. It's worth it, well, every penny.
I 100% I've been waiting for this sale for a very long time. It's been on my wish list, and seeing it pop up for $3. So I swear to God, Steam started up on its own just to tell me Titanfall 2 was $3.
They're like, hey. That's well, it's like, worth
hey,
it.
Hey,
this is
on your wish list, dude.
totally worth
say,
it.
I will say Steam is dangerous for my wallet because of all the sales and same. All the games.
I just bought Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because it went down to $30.
Okay, and I have to ask, what's the difference between Rebirth and Remake? And like, are they the same game?
No.
Is it like part one and part two?
No.
Like, what is going on? Why are there so many Final Fantasy games?
Well,
that
Final
are
Fantasy,
seven.
Why
are
there so many
they
Final
have
Fantasy
Final
sevens?
Fantasy VII Remake, which is just the first game more pretty. And then they have the Rebirth, which is some sort of insane tangent by the creator of Final Fantasy VII, where he decides he wants to make the game, but he wants to make it different and a trilogy, and also not follow the original plot. So I'm half expecting Sora to just spit out at some point in this series and just start making things complicated. So it's
fair enough.
I don't know what's, but at the same time, it's like I played the hell out of Final Fantasy VII back in the day. I played through that game so much. I maxed out the clock in Final Fantasy VII. It maxes out at
$99.99. Oh wow.
I got everybody with every material and every single thing, every materia. I had five Knights of the Round, which is the hour-long attack in that game. I had several of the gold chocobos.
My cousin was so into that game. I never had a PlayStation.
I could never play
though,
it again.
So.
I could never play it again.
You
I did it
overplayed
all.
It.
There's nothing left. I got most of my characters up to level 99. I can't do it again.
But Rebirth,
I played
though.
It on a hack game save. Everybody was already level 99.
Yeah,
there you go. That's the way to do it. Well, see, I was just, thank you for clarifying that for me, because I hear these podcasts that I'm listening to, and I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't, like, Final Fantasy VII just come out, like, as a remake? Like, what's the difference between all of these?
They didn't even get out of frickin' Midgar in the first game. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, because that's what I thought. I thought Final Fantasy VII Remake didn't even finish. I thought it was going to be like two or three parts. And now there's this
is.
Like...
They already just came out with the second one, but it's PlayStation 2, PlayStation 5, whatever, exclusive for a bit. So I'm going to have to wait a while to play it, but now I have that there if I want to try and get into it. Maybe once I hear it's released on PC, I'll play through that, and then... I'll play through the other game, but well, it'll kind of depend on how much I like the first game if I'm going to bother.
Sure. If it comes to Xbox and it's at a decent price, I'll probably pick it up. But like I've already discussed on this podcast how PC games and me just like we just can't do it. Like
That being said, it's I hear good things. I heard nothing bad about it, so I kind of want to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll play it if it comes on a console that I can play. Hell, if it comes on, maybe if I get a Steam Deck, maybe I'll just get it there, you know, and just get it on Steam on my deck type of thing, so.
Yeah. What up? Looked like you had something to say, or are you yawning?
Me? I was just stretching.
Okay. Fair. Fair. Well, what else you been playing? Anything else, Brandon? Or is that kind of just
no, no, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I've been a busy guy. Up to all sorts of things.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the logical conclusion of our show today. I hope everybody enjoyed the show this week. We'll be back again next week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brandon. We'll see you guys next week. Adios. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Trust the fungus.